Well, you ready?
Yes.
No? I'm excited about what's going on. It is an honor and a privilege to be in such a time as this. We could have been born, 200 years ago, and it would have been, man, I got to get out and farm. That's all you can do, But we've been freed up to do things. You can be freed up to do something. We were talking about this before. The Spirit of the Lord comes on you, and He's the Spirit of liberty. What is liberty but a freedom to do something? Jesus talked about the free man. Do you remember that? He said a free man. And they knew what He was talking about. Back in that day, you were either a free man, which was a Roman citizen of a certain stature. Guess what? They didn't work. Free people didn't work. They were freed to pursue poetry and the arts or politics. You're freed up to do politics. But the point is, they knew when He said, I have come to set you free. It meant free from this day-to-day mundane living. And we're being set free from day-to-day mundane living. Well, what do you mean? I still got to work? Yeah, but there's a freedom in that where that just comes so easy to you that you're free to go and do something completely different. Do things you never even thought you'd be doing. And your job just becomes secondary. An anointing can come on you to do your job in 2 days rather than all week. Still make the same amount of money. Wouldn't that be good? Isn't that the object? Work less, make more. When the anointing of God comes on you, that's what happens. And He frees you up to do something more important for the kingdom of God. That's what I sense. There's a freedom. And it's the same way when you get in, you're playing music or you're preaching or something. You're looking for that anointing that comes on you because it gives you a freedom to say something. A freedom to step into something that you might not have been able to do before. I didn't think of any of this stuff before I came up here, but when I got up here and I said, are you ready? And then I felt the anointing come on me and I was like, okay, let's just go. And then you go with where the anointing takes you. Right? I felt like this morning we have a list of songs, but they're not in any order. They're just in random order. And I just felt that we needed to kind of hit on healing for some reason. So we go in that direction. We don't make the direction. If we're making the directions, then you got the wrong leader. Who's the leader? Better be the Holy Ghost. Or you're following the wrong one. You're following some other ghost. Ooh. The ghost of Christmas past. Or Christmas present. Or whatever. Casper. I don't care what ghost it is, you're following the wrong one if He's not the Holy Ghost, which gets us into what we're going to talk about this morning. He is holy. Yes. Not hairy. Holy. How can you say that? Isn't that irreverent? I'm trying to make a point. It's His first name. He would have called Him George Ghost if it was something else, but He's the Holy Ghost. What does that mean? You want to walk with Him? Want to walk with the Holy Ghost? What are you going to live like then? Holy. The closer you want to walk with Him, you're going to have to live more holily or something. That's just the way it is. He's the Holy Ghost. It's His first name. You ever talk about somebody and they talk about their name? Well, His first name's Mr. Fix-It. Because He can fix anything. You just call Him Mr. Fix-It. We'll sometimes say that's His second name. Well, it's His second name. But it's His first name, Holy. You're like, all right, get on with it. No, I think you need to understand who we're dealing with. We've been talking, going along a series on the fear of the Lord. Fearing God. Oh, you mean just reverencing. No, I mean fearing Him. And when you talk about high levels of power in God, the electric, scary power of God that heals people. It takes power to heal people, right, Maynard? Not just incantations and, waving wands. And we're talking about the electric power of God. The real, that means God showing up and doing something, coming out of your hands into somebody else doing something. Scary, okay? It's the power of God and it's holy power. What if your hands haven't been holy? He might still operate on according of his word, but watch out. There could be some repercussions to that. Right? You're dealing with high power telephone, not telephone, there's not a lot of power there, but the high power electric lines. You better be dealing with it correctly. You better not have any connection to the ground at that point, right? I believe that's correct. Can you hang on? I think you can hang on to one of those as long as you don't touch the ground. But if you're grounded in any way, shape, or form, watch out. You might just kiss the last hair on your head goodbye. Zappo. So this is what we're talking about. We're talking about the fear of the Lord, fearing his power, reverencing to the extreme, reverence of the Holy Ghost and his supernatural power on your life. Then we're talking about the Holy Ghost. All right? Holy Ghost. All right. So if you have your Bible, glory be to God forever, by the way. Amen. This is a Bible. If you've never seen one before, get one and get your nose in it. It's called the Holy Written Word of God. And what's one thing that it's going to do when it gets on the inside of you? It's going to make you start living more holy. Yeah. Why? Because you're communicating with the author who is the Holy Ghost. It's just what he does. So get used to it. If God's telling you to stop doing something you've been doing, well, that's just God. He's going to lead you in that direction. Why? Because he's all the time looking for a way to increase the anointing, increase the power, increase his presence in your life. With his presence comes holiness. With his power comes holiness. Without it, no man shall see the Lord. You want to see God? You want to see God in your finances? You want to see God in your physical body? You want to see God in your ministry? Then it's going to be through holiness. You sound like a holiness preacher. I know. Isn't that weird? I never thought of that before. But just the other, we were at prayer meeting on Friday night. And you said, I want to have a banner. The first banner that anybody sees when they come through the door, it says, Holiness to the Lord. That's how important it is. Right, Maynard? Holiness is huge, especially when you start talking about the Holy Ghost. And I love the old-time Pentecostals. They were all about holiness. They called them the holiness movement. You're one of those, they still do today, those holiness people. Oh, glory to God. The problem is you get into a bunch of rules and regulations and then it gets weird. Then it's just another religious thing that you do. But we're going to walk in holiness and we'll see that. We're going to walk in holiness because of who we're walking with. Why don't I go this way? Because he doesn't want to go that way. Why don't I want to do that? Because he's not doing that, and I want to stay right with him, and he's holy. How can you be holy unless you're walking with him? Anything else is just a form of holiness, but denying the power thereof. We don't want that. We want the real deal, baby. Ha, 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 ha. All right. Glory be to God forever. I believe God, by the way. Hallelujah. All right, let's open up our Bibles to 2 Corinthians 7 and 1. And when you open up your Bible, realize that you're not just reading a bunch of words. You're reading the words of a holy living God. Scary, my friend. And he'll talk to you, won't he, Maynard? You open up your Bible, he's going to start talking to you. And probably the first thing is shape up. Fly straight. Live right. Live clean. Live holy. Why? Because he wants to come close to you. Do you know that's the only reason he couldn't come real close to Israel? Because they would fry him. And we're shouting and we're screaming, glory to God, come. Come, Holy Ghost, come. Live with us. You better get ready. Clean up. Because he's coming. And when he comes, watch out. You better live right. Don't have any of those connections to the ground. That's really a good illustration. You could run with that forever, couldn't you? connections to the ground, connections to this earth, desires of the things of the world. Cut them off. Let them die. Why? Nothing's as good as the power of God flowing through you like a mighty rushing river. I'm excited about it. I can tell you're excited about it. Well, thank you. So if I just run around the room here a little bit, you'll know why. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. 2 Corinthians 7 and 1. And let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your holy written word. I receive revelation today from your word. We receive revelation today from your word. We ask to step into your word like never before. Let it pop out to us so we can see and move and breathe and be who we're really called to be, not something else. Be who we're really called to be through your blood, through the word, through the Holy Ghost, through your power. Change us, Holy Ghost. I ask to be changed. I ask for everyone in here to be radically altered in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Ha, ha, ha. Glory to God forever. Yeehaw. 1 Corinthians 7, 1. All right, you ready? You there? I'm ready to go home. Ready? Let's get out of here. No. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the what? The fear of God. Perfecting. He said, first of all, this is kind of, why did they put a chapter mark there, Maynard? Why? It says, having therefore these promises. Well, you got to go to the chapter before it to get to the promises that he was just talking about, right? I don't know. Sometimes I don't understand why they put the chapters where they did. But chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Are you guys ready for this? I'm serious. This is going to shake your world. I'm serious. It shook my, it's shaking me right now on the inside. Yeah, you ever hear the old time prophets? They'd be talking about my innards trembled. Yeah. Where does shaking come from? It comes from the inside. It comes from the Holy Ghost. It comes on you. Where do you speak in tongues from? Out of your innermost being. What happens when a well of water starts to begin to bubble up? There's a tremor. I bet you can put your ear down to the ground and hear it. That's what seismologists do. They send a sound down to see if there's any oil down there. Telling you, there's oil in here, and it's trembling. And if you get ready and pull and believe, we can receive this from the Spirit of God. That's, I get excited about preaching because I can get into things where I couldn't get. I knew it was right there at home, and I'm praying, but I got to wait for that anointing so I can jump into it and start swimming around. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right. So we're going to swim in this for a second. Go back with me to chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Hallelujah. And verse 15. Glory be to God forever. Well, let's go to 14. Why? Because it's really good. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? You got no business with darkness anymore, people. None of it. You see it? Get rid of it. Don't hang out there. Don't do anything with it. You have nothing to do with it. Why? Because you're afraid of God. Fear begins in the house of God, doesn't it? If you don't have fear of God, nobody has fear of God. You have no communion with darkness anymore. It has nothing to do with you. You are the light of the Lord, and you walk in the light and power of God from heaven in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And what concord has Christ with Belial, or what part has he that believes with an infidel? An infidel is somebody who doesn't believe. You're a believer. Stop hanging around with people that don't believe. Doesn't mean you can't talk to them. Doesn't mean you don't witness to them. Right? Otherwise, we'd have to be removed from the earth, Paul said. And maybe it'll come to that. But he said, that's not where you fellowship. That's not where you hang out. You're a light creature. Don't hang out in darkness. You're in Christ. He calls you Christ right there. That's one of those big scriptures. If you meditate on it, it gets bigger and bigger the more you chew on it. He called you Christ. What concord has Christ with Belial? You are the anointed one in the earth today. I know you're not the Lord Jesus Christ. Please. Right. People, you know, people end up in mental institutions thinking they're the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not the Lord Jesus Christ, but you are Christ in the earth. You're his body. You're his anointed people. And you have no concord with Belial or an infidel, someone who doesn't believe. So sit up straight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you, who? You are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. Are we talking about the same God that we've been talking about, who's full of power, who's a consuming fire? He says he's going to walk in you and dwell in you and live in you and through you. This is big stuff. This is why he says having these promises, having this promise, straighten up and live right. Because if you don't, you're in trouble, my friends. You don't hear this a lot. And you should. This is why God hasn't been able to turn up the power, because his people aren't living holy. They're still having concord with unbelievers. They're still half in unbelief themselves. Aren't they? Most churches full of unbelief. Full of idol worship. You mean they bring their idol? No! In this culture we have idols of all kinds of stupid things. Could be jobs and money and all that other stuff. It's just a connection to the ground, people. Break it off. Hold on with both hands to that high wire and let the electric power of God just pulsate through you. Let it blow your shoes off. You don't need your shoes anymore anyway. Shoes are for walking on the ground. Verse 17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate. Is this in the Bible? Yes. Come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. Be separate and touch not the unclean thing. Don't touch it. Don't even touch it. Don't think about touching it. Don't even go near it. Don't touch it. Why? Why is he saying this? That sounds religious to me. Can't touch that. Can't do this. Didn't Paul say that? This is just a bunch of laws. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't. Everything may be lawful for you, but it's not beneficial, my friend. Especially when you're dealing with what we're dealing with now. We're dealing with the living God. It is a scary, fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We're preaching a gospel of power here. I hope you realize that. A gospel of power, not just seeker friendly. You know, you get those preachers that bang on the pulpit, they're trying to get their point across. And if the people are sleeping out there, maybe it'll wake them up. Hallelujah. Wherefore come out from among them and be you separate. Who's he talking here to? The church. He's talking to you. You be separate. Why? Why is God picking on me? Why do I have to not go there? Why do I not do this? Why? Because he wants to live in you. He, the Holy Ghost. Holy is his first name. I was going to say his middle name. I don't know what his middle name is, but Holy is his first name. And if he's going to live in you and on you and around you, Holy's going to be your first name, whether you like it or not. Everything you do will be the first name. Well, I don't know about Alan. He's one of those holiness guys. Well, there's a good reason that he is. Is because he fears God more than you. And he wants the power of God more than you. Glory be to God. Wherefore, come out from among them and be you separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and what? I will receive you. Where's the ball? Whose court's the ball in now? Touch not. I will receive you if you do this. Separate yourself. Well, what do you mean, brother, separate yourself? Get into his presence. You do it. How do you separate yourself? Get away from the stupid stuff that's occupying. Separate yourself. And go and get in his presence. Go and get in his word. Go and do those things that he's calling you to do and spend time with him. And he will receive you. Good news, right? That's the good news. The good news isn't just you got to, you know, well, even the beginning of the good news, repent and believe the gospel. Why do we leave out the repent part so much? Because people don't like that. You tell them you got to repent. Repent and believe. If we tell people to repent first, then they'd be ready to receive. I will receive you when you repent and touch not the unclean thing. The ball's in our court. How holy do we want to live? How much power do we want to have? That's the degree of how much holiness you got, right? Why do I keep going back to electricity? I guess it because it makes a good illustration. Aren't there different levels of conductors, certain metals? And I know that gold is one of the best, right? But they don't make wires out of gold. I think it's too expensive, right? Imagine those high wires made out of gold. We'd have people climbing up there trying to clip them off, wouldn't you? You see this line of fried people right under the power wire. Gold is a pure metal. It's one of those pure things. And because it's so pure, the power or the electricity can flow through it. God used his gold. He covered his whole temple with gold. Must have been a reason. He didn't just pick some metal that he liked. I like aluminum. You know, aluminum. Want it all over my truck? Want it all over my temple? He picked it for a reason. Because when God does something, it carries through so far. Well, it's carrying right through into our little illustration today. Isn't that wonderful? Gold. It will contain large amounts of power because it's so pure. If you have some other type of alloy, it won't conduct that type of power. Only so much power can go through. Are you starting to see this? When you're in a church, how come we need more power? It must be because we're not as holy as we ought to be so the power can come through. This requires you and me to walk this way. Not just me. Well, the preacher, he must be living in some kind of sin because I don't sense any power in here today. What's up with him? Where were you last weekend and what did you do? No. This is a body thing. It has everything to do with you. I can preach really good messages when you're hungry. When you're not hungry, I'm up here just throwing things at you. Picking it back up and throwing it at you again. Picking it back up, throwing it at you again, trying to get the stick. It falls on the ground. I'm going to pick it up, throw it at you again. But when you're hungry, you absorb things like SpongeBob. Super absorbent. And when you're holy and we're living in holiness, then the power of God can come in a big way. Get ready. I'm excited about it. We've had these prophecies going on every time we get to praying. And when I get in the spirit, I see these things and people are coming. There's in the streets, radical outpourings of the Holy Ghost everywhere. That means people are going to repent. If we did nothing but preach repentance all the time, it would be good because it would be preparing the way for the glory of God. What did John the Baptist do? He prepared the way for Jesus. What was his message? Repent. Glory's coming. And if you don't repent, scary, right? So when we hear these things, people coming up and giving you the message or the pastor telling you got to repent. It's because there's something coming, people. I didn't come up with this message. This wasn't the message I was coming up with. I had a different message. Maybe you'll get it next week. But on Friday night, this was started coming through. This holiness, in fact, you said, Alan, you said something about the holiness and the fear of the Lord coming together. Yeah. Why? And we'll see. Let me read in my next verse. Glory be to God, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. I could run with this 1,000 miles right now. What is it to be a son of God? Does he have any gold? Does he have any healing? Does he have anything that's good? Why do you think it's so great to become a son of God? Well, because he has nothing. And he's requiring you to live a shabby life in a tent with no shoes for the rest of your life until you die and go to heaven and walk on streets of gold. You won't be ready for streets of gold until you get to know him as a father. What does a father do? He provides for you. Whatever the father has, you get. Sit up straight. Whatever the father has, you get. That's just the way it is. Remember the prodigal son? He thought he had to take it and leave when he said, hey, all the time, you could have had it all the time you're here. You never asked me for a goat to slay. Why not? Ask for two. He's got plenty of them. These people had thousands of goats. And he's like, I can't ask for a single goat for mine inheritance to have for my friends and throw a party. Because I don't know why, but because. Because I'm so religious and pious, and it wouldn't make God happy for me to eat one of his precious lambs. Eat them all, glory to God. Lambs breed, they make more lambs. Do you eat meat, brother? Oh, yes, I do. That's just to offend the vegetarians. No. Oh, goodness. I will be a father unto you. You shall be my sons and daughters. This is a promise, but he said what had to come first? Separation. What are you separating? What are you holding on to that's better than this? That's what I want to know. What is it? What are you holding on to that's better than being a son and daughter of God? And all the benefits that comes with that. Please. It's not worth it. Well, I like to go to R-rated movies, brother. Well, the Holy Ghost probably isn't going to go with you. What do you want? You want him or you want your little hour and a half of crap? Did I say crap? Sorry. That's what it is. All right, they can bleep me out because that was R-rated. Beep. I'm just telling you the way it is, people. Okay? These are checks that are going to come. That's the way it comes, Maynard, doesn't it? It comes like a little correction on the inside of you. It's like, oh, I probably shouldn't. And you don't have to be all pious and religious about it. Just go with the check that's in there. Everybody's getting really quiet on me now. What else is he going to pick on? I'm going to pick on everything because the Holy Ghost, that's what I'm saying. What is it to you? What is this great thing that you're holding up as so grandiose that compares with the power of the living God pulsating through you night and day, shaking you on your bed? You can't sleep. You want to go to sleep, but you can't. But you just shake all night long under the power of God. What compares to that? What compares to being completely healed and living in divine health, which comes from the power of God, by the way? And divine wealth. Can you say that? Absolutely. Supernatural provision coming from the throne of God with no contaminants in that wire. Do you hear me? There's no contaminants. Keep that gold line solid. I got a solid gold line to the throne of God, and the power of God comes down at any given time. Moses, take your shoes off. Why does he say stuff like this? Because the ground on which you're standing is holy. Pretty soon we'll all be wearing gold shoes. Gold clothes and gold. We'll be covered in gold. Oh, glory be to God. I won't go there right now, but that's part of it. Do you know that when the bride, one of the signs, and I remember Ruth Heflin. You ever heard of Ruth Heflin? One of the, glory to God. Ruth Heflin, she's got a bunch of books on the glory. They're all very good. I'm getting all giggly up here while I'm talking about it. But she says that one of the customs in Israel, the Jewish customs, was before the groom came and the bride was getting prepared weeks in advance, he would begin sending gifts of gold to her. Several different gifts of gold. And so as the gold begins to show up Right, Maynard? As the gold begins to show up, it's getting closer to the time when he's going to win of the wedding. And so the bride of Christ, there's going to be an outpouring of gold. Brother, it sounds like you're preaching prosperity. Well, I am, but it's different than that. This gold is a conductor of what? His presence and his power. And it's just going to increase and increase to the point where, oh my goodness, we're just covered in the glory of God. All right. I didn't mean to get off on that, but I haven't even read my verse here. Go to chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved. What promises? That God himself is going to come and live with you and be your father. I mean, we give lip service to this, but this is a promise. Right? A promise that God himself is going to come, Tanja, and live in you and with you in your house. Is that going to affect anything? Yes. It's going to affect everything. Pretty soon your house is going to start looking more like where he lives. It happens. It's going to continue to happen until the point where you start to, when you go to pick out something to put on in the morning. Now, don't criticize me right now. But you go to pick out something to put on in the morning, you start thinking about who's going to be on the inside of you when you put it on. Because he's with you. You understand there's holiness involved, and holiness goes so far. It's not just one thing and oh, holiness, we talked about that. No, holiness contains the purity and power of Almighty God. It's why he claimed it as his first name. He could have picked any name he wanted. You don't think God, he named everybody else? He changed people's name. Abraham used to be Abram. He changes people's names. This is God. He could have picked any name he wanted. Name he picks? Could have picked Goldman. He could have picked anything. He picked holy. Because in holiness contains all that he is. It's very heavy. All right. Glory be to God. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. Let us cleanse ourselves from all. There's got to be some wiggle room in here somewhere, Maynard. Help me. Get some concordance or something and tell me how this doesn't mean we're supposed to cleanse ourselves from all. I can't. This is it. Cleanse yourself. Why does he tell us? Why is he emphatic about it? Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness. Why? In the fear of God because of his power. Go back to the story of Ananias and Sapphira. They should have stayed home that day. But when the power increases, and this is what I believe, we're heading into those days when the power of God, you can see, I can see it in the spirit. It's like fire all over the floor, spilling out into the streets. This is the power of God. We're not playing Mickey Mouse church here anymore. This is what the kind of life we have to live if we're going to walk in that. And it's called paying the price. You pay the price. What's the price? Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. He didn't even say sin. Uh-oh. Now you're really going to get in trouble. He didn't even say sin. Some things aren't even sin, but it's not good for you in the power of God. Do you understand? How clean do you want that golden pipeline? How much power do you want going through it? Clean it out. What do they do when Roto-Rooter comes and there's only a little bit of water coming through? They go with one of those steel scrubby brushes and they rub it back and forth until it is just clean on the inside. They're cleaning out the gunk so more power can flow through. Mark my words, you see some things where God's been dealing with you about it, and I don't know what it is, I don't care what it is. If you see something in your life where God's kind of ministering to you, well, you don't need that. Why don't you take that time that you're doing this and come pray in tongues for an hour? What's going to happen to you? You are going to be changed, my friend. He's going to rotor-root you right out until you are cleaned. And his power can flow through you to those around you. And you get affected by it first. That's the wonderful thing that I don't think people understand. We get to be first partakers of the fruit. So get excited about it. You think God wants to help somebody pay their bills? We pray for stuff like that. God help him pay their bills. Well, what about God flooding you with his power to get wealth? Well, you go pay his bills for him. He even tells you that. Don't tell someone be warmed and filled. You warm them, you fill them. Well, how are you going to do that unless you got extra to do that with? Give him one of your coats, which means you have to have more than one. That's prosperity. You have more than enough to give to somebody else. And then it just flows through you and you got an open pipeline to glory. Oh my goodness. Doesn't take many bricks falling off the street up there to cure your financial whatever it is. Let's cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. What? Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You will not understand what I'm talking about unless you understand the fear of the Lord. Why is this so important? Why would God care what you do with your mouth? Why would he care with you what you do with your time? Because he wants to be close to you. He wants to be close. Why does he want you to repent? Because he wants to make you a son and a daughter. Repent and believe. So every step, it's the same way. The more you want from him, the more you're going to have to give up of yourself. You want his finances? I'm sorry, you're going to have to give up on yours. Huh? Yeah. Give and it shall be given unto you. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You can't perfect holiness unless you're in the fear of God. Do you understand? You're not even going to see it. You're not going to see what is bugging him unless you fear him to begin with. Does that make sense? He's the Holy Ghost. And until you come into that hyper reverent fear of him, and you want him so much that you're willing to let anything and everything be cleaned out and changed, you're not going to see the reason behind it. Go to 1 Corinthians 6. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. Can you see why this stuff is good foundation stuff for what we're going to come into? Can you see that? This is important. You start walking in the supernatural power of God, and then you start living the same way you lived 2 months ago. Don't hang around me. Unfortunately, that's what God's going to say. Don't hang around me. And you want him to hang around you. You better want God to hang around you more than I want him to hang around you. Well, that sounds selfish. Well, too bad. That's just the way it is. Covet earnestly the best gifts. He doesn't tell you to covet many things, but he tells you to covet him. Because he is the best gift, by the way. I don't know if you ever got that or not before, but that's the way it is. That's what he's saying. Covet him. You want him so much, you're willing to let anything and everything else be stripped aside. So you're just a naked person hanging by one of those power lines. That's a good image, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Now, if you take that in context of what I was just telling you, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit with him. What spirit are we talking about? The Holy Spirit. Is it good? I'm going to keep beating up on it. Is it good to be joined to the Holy Ghost? He's telling you, he's joined to the Lord. You're one spirit with the Holy Ghost. That avails you to everything that he has and does and is. What's the very next thing he says? Flee fornication, and every sin that man does without the does is without the body, but he that commits fornication sins against his own body. What body? The body of Christ. Flee these things. Why? In the fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 19, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Holiness and the power of God go hand in hand. Hallelujah. What glorifies God in your body? Does healing glorify God in your body? Absolutely. That's a good mark of when somebody gets healed. What do they say afterwards? Usually it's glory to God. Same thing with prosperity when it comes from heaven. Glory to God. Glory to God. You're glorifying God in your body. Well, he is holy. Shoo. All right. Glory be to God. Go to Romans chapter 6. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get up through all of this today. A wise man once told me, well, you should never rush it. You know, if you can't get it all over one day, well, go over next week. What? We got time, right? This is good stuff. I don't know if you're getting the inoculation shot or not like I am, but I'm getting it, brother. Sounds like you're telling me to live holy. Absolutely. Why? Because it's so good. You know, and this is the problem. People, especially worldly people, they think, who is that? I want to say Wesley. Some lady came up to him and said, you know, I would get saved, but I don't want to give up dancing. She liked to dance. I don't want to give up dancing. So I'd give my heart to Jesus, but I don't want to give up dancing. And she knew she had to give up dancing because he would preach holiness. He was a holiness preacher. And he said, oh, don't worry about that, sister. When you get saved, you can dance all you want to. You can dance all you want to. And she goes, really? I thought, you know, you're preaching against, you know, sin stuff. And she's, no, he's go, oh, just give your heart to the Lord. You can dance all she wants to. She comes back, gives her heart to the Lord, comes back up the next night to the preacher. And he says, you're sly. You knew that after I gave my heart to Jesus, I wouldn't want to anymore. Took away the want to. Why did she not want to anymore? Because she started living the life. She started living with him. Something greater than that presented itself to him. If you could have a greater life, you might have to give up the lower life. So you give up one, which looks ridiculous after you give it up. You're like, how could I have lived like that? It's just squalor and muck. But now I can live this life in the power and presence of the living God. Glory be to God forever. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. All right. Glory be to God. Romans chapter 6 and verse, I believe, 23. Go to verse 12. Hey, brother. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Once again, you do it. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of righteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Instruments of righteousness. How many of you know that righteousness is good? I'm going to stress this again. It is better to walk in righteousness than into sin. He's not telling you to give up this because it's bad for you. He's telling you if you give this up, there's something better for you. I get a kick out of David when he was about ready to go slay Goliath. The king Saul there had said, any man that does this is going to get to marry the king's daughter. He will be given a certain amount of gold and he'll be able to live in the palace. What did David think about that? He's been sleeping in the cold with sheep. Now he gets to sleep in the palace with the king's daughter. That's a big difference. He asks it three times. What's he going to get? What am I going to get if I go and do this? It was the goodness of God that led them to repentance. The goodness is what leads people to repentance. We need to show people what is good, but we've got to have them repent so they can get it. That's why you repent, because the goodness is there. He slayed the giant. I don't care what giant it is you have. Kill that thing. So you can have the reward. The reward is God himself. God told Abraham that. Don't worry about all that. I am your exceeding great reward. What else do you need? Who else can we fear? Don't fear anything else. You got God. That's it. God's on your side. Who could be against you? That's the reward of repentance. That's why you get to repent. You should be asking God, show me things that I can clean out of my closet. Show me stuff that I can get rid of so I can walk with you. Why? Because there's a goal at the end. There's a prize that you get behind door number three. Open up all the doors. Let God in. Clean out those closets. Hallelujah, man. Let's go on here. Glory be to God forever. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 6. Yes, hallelujah, God is good. Why do we do this, people? Why do we repent? Because we want God that much. And it all comes through the fear of the Lord. If you don't fear him and his power, you don't see any need to that his power is anything to mess around with. That's, you know, you can just do whatever you want in the presence of God. Then you won't repent because you're not fearing God. These things are interconnected. It's really big. The more you fear God, the more you're going to clean up and walk straight. And the more he's going to be able to pour his power out. That's this message in a nutshell. Glory be to God forever. Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 6. And the soul that turns after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. Can you say, ouch? 7. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. Verse 8. And you shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctifies you. I wanted to read where it comes. We read the New Testament version of this, be ye holy for I am holy. But look what he said. He said, going after witchcraft. What's the sin of witchcraft? In the New Testament, there's all these things that speak of the same thing. Because isn't it the same God in the New Testament, the Old Testament? Look what he said he was going to do to them. He said he will cut them off from among the people. Happens all the time. Ministries rise up. They get somehow deceived and into sin. They get cut off. You never hear about them again. You wonder what happened over there. They got cut off. The power of God and sin do not go well together. He's the Holy Ghost. You want to walk in the Holy Ghost? This is the price you pay. It's called living holy. All right? That's what I wanted to get out of this verse was that he will sanctify you. Right at the end there it says, I am the Lord which sanctifies you. He does it. But the only way he can come on you is for you to get rid of that stuff. Who did he say he had to get rid of it? You. Let's go to Isaiah 35:8. I think we're getting somewhere. I want to get towards the end of this because I want you to see that the goodness of God is what leads you to repentance. This is just another road. And I realize, you know, we've been preaching on the fear of the Lord. That's not a real feel-good message, but the result of it is feel-good. When we sang that song this morning about homosexuality, that's not a feel-good song, okay? But I believe that's necessary. Certain things are necessary to uphold. Our nation here, people giving out pregnancy pills for our kids in schools. If somebody's not speaking out against it, then we're allowing it. We need to let the Spirit of God know we don't embrace that, we don't allow it, and we're willing to stand up against it. Right? That's holiness, whether people like it or not. I'm not judging the sinner, I'm judging the sin. And the Bible specifically says that they that do such things cannot inherit the kingdom of God. What does that mean? They've got to repent before they can inherit the kingdom of God. I'm willing to tell them to repent. I'm telling you all to repent. Right? I'm telling myself to repent. Any little thing that possibly can affect and hinder the power of God, I want him so much. I want his power. I want him. That any little thing that's in my life, I'm going to be willing to get it changed and clean it out. Right? And people can call us holiness people. Not because we have a list of do's and don'ts, because we just live holy because we want to live with the Holy Ghost. He sanctifies us. He comes on us, lives with us, and sanctifies us. The closer we walk with him, the more sanctified we're going to be. The more holy we're going to live. It's part of the price. The fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. Why don't you sin? Because I'm scared of God. I believe in the power of God. He cut them off. When they just thought about going in the wrong direction. Man, the judgment was severe and quick back then. It's going to get that way. Do you know things go in circles? I'm excited about it. Hallelujah. Where was I? Isaiah 35, verse 8. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. Well, I hope you got the part that I really wanted to hear. The highway, there is a highway there. It's called the way of holiness. A highway. What is a highway? It's different than a narrow footpath, my friend. Okay, this, you want to drive fast, don't drive through the woods on a footpath on an ATV. You can go pretty fast, but watch out for those trees that are clipping by you really fast. Okay, on a highway, they clear a path. It's clear sailing for you, my friend, if you're what? On the highway of holiness. Clear path for you. You get it? It's a clear path on the highway of holiness. No clear path if you're not walking in holiness. Self-explanatory? I think so. All right. Let's continue to read down here. Verse 9. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. Get it? You're walking in holiness? No lion. Remember the lion? Jesus talked about the lion, the toothless lion. Actually, it wasn't Jesus. What was it, Peter? Said the lion roars, seeking whom he may devour. There's no lion on this highway. They can't touch you. It's the highway of holiness. And there's an on-ramp too. It's the blood of Jesus, by the way. Goodness. Hallelujah. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there. But the redeemed shall walk thereon. What highway is the redeemed going to walk on, Ellen? Holiness. Hallelujah. The holy highway. We're on the holy highway. Where's that song? In a banjo. The redeemed shall walk thereon. Verse 10, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Where is this going to happen? On the highway to holiness. The highway of holiness, they'll be singing. They'll be, you know, and they're going to Zion with joy.
Yes.
He, ha, 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 the highway of holiness. Oh, I hope that this just gets under your skin this week. You hear me saying the highway of holiness? It's a highway. This is where you go. This is the way. There's no ravenous beast there. Just joy and singing. Sounds like a good highway to me. Hallelujah. Shoo. Okay, I am going to take this one step further. Brother, I didn't know you could take it any further than that. Well, I'm gonna. 2 Peter chapter 3. And I'm going to try to end with this. Oh, glory be to God forever. I have a desire for this church. And I'm willing to be changed in every way possible to see it happen. All right? So don't be surprised if we just change everything. Oh, glory to God forever. 2 Peter 3:10. Hallelujah. Let's look at verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what?
Repentance.
To repentance. He wants them all to come to what, Maynard?
Repentance.
Repentance. Why? Because of the precious promises. Because of the gold and the kingdom and all these wonderful things that God has for them. And being a son and a daughter. Like the prodigal son returning home. He wants them to come to repentance. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And this is where, listen to me, listen with the ear of fear. There's so many things in the word that you won't even hear unless you listen with the ear of fear.
Yeah.
Sound like Keith Moore now. He rhymes everything. And I never do. But that had to come from the Spirit of God. In fact, I try not to rhyme things because I think it sounds hokey. But if God said that, whatever. That doesn't sound hokey. There's things you won't hear unless you hear with the ear of fear. You won't even get it. So listen with the ear of fear right here. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Verse 12, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire. My friend, you better be walking with God when this happens. The heavens being on fire. Talk about terror. Right? This is the day of the Lord. This is what we're hastening. Dude, you guys are nuts. What are you hastening? This. We're looking forward to it. Are we not? The Bible says we can hasten it. I'll get that in a minute. Let me finish this. Shoo! The day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise. Once again, there's a promise held in front of us like a carrot on a stick. Look for the new heavens and the new earth wherein dwelleth what? Righteousness. Hallelujah. Go back to verse 12. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of the Lord. Why did he put the word hastening in there? Because it's not going to happen until we are the bride of Christ, until we are living the life that he's ready to return for. We hasten it. We have something to do with it. We can either push into this people and strip ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit and walk in the power of the living God, or we can leave it up to somebody else. But I've committed to doing it, whether anybody else wants to go or not, and I believe you do. So let's do it all together. Let's cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit and perfect holiness in the fear of God, hastening the coming of the Lord. When God sees churches like this and churches like this all over the place, he's going to get up off his throne and come in a cloud. The cloud will be manifest, and that's how he comes. He just walks through the room into through the cloud. And we're like, we're out of here because we're not holding on to anything anymore. We've had it all stripped away, and we don't care about anything of the things of the earth. What manner of people ought we to be? Just like that. We're ready to go at any given minute, step into that cloud. See ya. Well, what about your stock portfolio? I don't care. Do you see what I'm stepping into? The glory of God makes anybody's stock portfolio look ridiculous. We got better stock in a better environment, in a better bank. Their stock is based on what something's going to be worth. What's it going to be worth when this happens? Zero. What about your stock? What stock portfolio is how you answer that? It's gone at that point. We're looking for righteousness, right standing with God. We let everything get stripped off of us because we want right standing with God more than anything else. Glory be to God forever. Let's end there. Hallelujah. If you have things that you feel that you need to just plain repent from, you want to strip those things off and get them away from you, do it. The best way to do it is called confession. You don't have to confess it to me. Okay, I'll meet you in the back room and you can whisper to me through a slot in the door. Tell me your sins, brother, and I will pray to God and he can remove. No, you confess your sins to God. And when you confess it out your mouth, let it go away and never mention it again. It's gone. The same way that you confess salvation, you confess sin and it leaves your body, leaves your life through your mouth. It's the way it is, whether we like it or not. You use your mouth. That's how you come into a relationship with God. You say, Jesus, I make you my Lord. And I repent of my sins. It's with your mouth. And then you show fruit or actions that back that up. One of which is baptism. We're going to wait till it gets really cold outside and then have a baptism service right down on the beach. And I'll wear my wetsuit. And the baptized people won't. No. That's the way old time Pentecostal holiness people would do it. You get saved that day. That day you go and get baptized. They're sawing through the ice, brother. Right? Maynard knows. He probably was baptized that way. I don't know. He's probably seen it, though. Glory to God. They're serious. That, you got to be serious, right? You got to be serious to do that, because that is serious. That's seriously cold. The Bible says we've not strived unto blood against sin. Have we? Let's strive against this thing. You got things, something that's bugging you? Strive against it. Give it some effort, for goodness sakes.
Well, I just can't help it, brother. I can't help it. I see those advertisements on the TV, and I just got to go have a Twinkie.
Strive against it and shut this stupid TV off, for goodness sake. All right? Strive against it. Why? Because the result is righteousness. The result is the power of God on you like never before. We've only seen just the tip of the iceberg, and I am so excited about it. Glory be to God forever. Hallelujah. Let's just pray and repent here. And remember, it's the fear of the Lord. Fear God. It will keep you living straight. When you fear God, you live right. Father, in Jesus' name, I repent. I take this time to repent from any sin, from my past, from any wrongdoing. Please forgive me, Father. I ask for forgiveness, and I promise you, with every striving of my being, I will not go in the direction of sin anymore. I will go in your direction, Holy Spirit. I worship you. You are holy. I love you. I fear you more than anything else. And I love you, Holy Ghost. I ask you to develop that fear within these people. Let it come and sit down on them like a burning fire, so that they may know the fear of the Lord. And they may hear the voice more clearly, more profoundly, of how to repent and turn from sin and go in the right direction all the time. Let it be on them all day, every day, and all night and every night. Glory be to God. Hound them. Hallelujah. Hound them into holiness. Hallelujah. That we may walk with you in power in this day, in this hour, in the earth, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Frodo Baradibisky.